Well, you remember in our study that when you study the Bible, there are all kind of things. You always interpret the Bible historically, literally, grammatically. You always study it, take it in its context. You always compare Scripture with Scripture. All of those things that we talked about. You said when you get into a passage, and today we're just going to pretend, okay, we're going to study Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Now, the truth is this. We would never study Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 all of a sudden just pick that out of the blue. Most likely we'd have already been studying the rest of the book before now. But what if you decided, I just want that part that starts right there when it's going to talk about the armor of God. And since the armor of God's sort of a long passage, I'm just going to study about the first three or four verses now, and then I'll come back later and do something else. So that's sort of where we are. We already know that we have to get the idea and the flow of the book, and we'll just remind ourselves of that in just a second. When we get ready to study, what are the three things we do when we're going to study a passage? What do? We observation. That is, what does it say? And then the second one is interpretation. What does it mean? And then application, which is, what does it mean to me? And so we've looked at all sort of things. We said in observation, we ask these questions: who, what, where, when, why, how. In interpretation, we look at things like the verbs and connectives and keywords. And in applications, we always said, make your applications based off your interpretations and make your applications personal. That's what we've been saying. We did that in Acts chapter 1. We looked at verse 8, but we had to see the whole context to be able to do it. Let's look at Ephesians 6. We'll start with 10 through 13. And we're just going to touch on this, and we can't go near as long as we did. I'd like to, if possible, I'd really like to do this one today. I know you say that's impossible because it took us 2 weeks to do one verse, and it's four verses. But we're just going to hit on it, and we'll go fairly quickly together as we look at it. Shout out stuff when I say who's the who. Think what you can come up with. We'll go fairly quickly through it. We'll do the same thing on interpretation and application. And if we don't get through on it, I may just say, well, that's homework to do it yourself, to be able to do it so that we can get into all of this. Well, the first thing we say is observation. Let's look at the verses 10 through 13. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces, this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Now, let's just get a little background. Now, I brought a couple of books. I brought a concordance, which I'll show you how to use it in just a minute on certain things. I brought an atlas, which would help us if you're looking up Ephesus and finding out where it is and all those things. I brought a book called The New Manners and Customs of the Bible, which tells you how people lived, what did they do. Then I just brought one called New Testament Times, which gives you background of the New Testament. And you could even go into this and find out about Ephesus and when Paul went there and when did he wrote there and where was he when he wrote and all those kind of things. There are other books that are called commentaries. There are other books that will give you background. So let's pretend that we've been doing the background and study on the book of Ephesians, and we know that Ephesians was written by Paul in sometime around 60 to 62 A.D. He was writing to a church. He was in prison in Rome. He's writing to give them some information. We already know, in fact, we studied the book of Ephesians not too long ago on Sunday nights, and we saw that chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul tells us who we are in Christ. It's very theological. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he tells us how to live out who we are in Christ. 4, 5, and 6. That's why chapter 4 starts with walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. And so the rest of the book, we're in the practical application part of the book, and he's now telling us how we're going to live the Christian life, and he says, you got to put on the armor of God. In fact, most people have said, oh, I've heard of the armor of God passage. I know that's the armor that believers are supposed to put on so we can have victory in the Christian life. So as we look at these verses, notice how it starts, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. And so we say, oh, this is that passage. And then he tells us some things. So let's start with observation. And on your handout, I've got Ephesians. It says 11 through 13. We'll start with verse 10. Let's do the observation, which is the who, what, where, when, why, and how. So let's do that together. Let's see what we can come up with. Who is the who in the passage? Now, I've read it not twice, but I've read through it. As you look at it, do you see any who's? Who do you see? Okay, say it again. Just shout it out. Okay. He's talking to believers, isn't he? Okay, so he's talking to them. So we got believers. Who else we got? Shout them out. Who? The Lord. Okay, we got the Lord. Huh? Okay, Paul, because Paul's writing, you're exactly right. Who else we got? The devil, exactly right. Or either it's the devil, he is, and angelic beings that are listed there. We call them probably demonic beings when we read it, and we see for our wrestle, or we fight not against flesh and blood, but against these rulers, these places, these spiritual darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. So we've got the devil and demonic beings and human beings and the Lord, the believers, and who else? Anything else? We got Paul and then directly who? The church at Ephesus, right. Okay, so is that the who? Is that pretty good? Okay, what is going on? What are they talking about? What's talked about in these verses? Okay, is he saying how to grow spiritually? Does he say, I'm going to teach you how to grow spiritually? What does he say? Be strong in what? He says, put on the what? So he's talking about what? Putting on the armor so you can stand. Isn't that right? I mean, if you look at the verses, what do we see him talking about? Putting on God's armor so you can stand. Is that okay? Does that sound okay to everybody? But you got anything else? Say anything you want to say. This is you. This is you observing. Huh? Be prepared. That's a good, yeah, be prepared. And how does he say be prepared? Put on armor. Yeah, and you noticed something. You said full armor. That's right. We'll come back to that. But as you observe, you may say, put on full armor. Okay, where? Is there a where in this passage? You have to say it loud. If you're wrong, I'll just embarrass you in front of everybody. So just throw it out. It doesn't matter. Okay, first of all, the whole aspect of wherever you are living when he writes this, when we look at this, we'd say, where is throughout the whole world, because he's telling these believers. Now, where are these believers? In Ephesus. Okay, is there any other where? Where's Paul? He's where? He's in prison where? In Rome. Now, we can't tell it from this passage, but we have to get that somewhere else. So we got Paul in prison in Rome writing to the believers in Ephesus, okay? And yet, as we take the where, we could say this could apply anywhere, okay? Anywhere. Okay, so we got who? It's we got Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about believers. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about angels. He's talking about people. What are they talking about? Putting on the armor of God so you can stand. Where is this going on? Paul's in Rome. He's writing to Ephesus, but it could be anywhere. When? That's right. 60 to 62 A.D. when Paul's in prison, the best we can tell, that's when he wrote this. Anything else? Any other when? Okay, for those believers, it was what? Right then in their lives. And then we could say that the when could also be any time for any believer, if we're looking at it that way. Okay? So we got Paul writing to the believers in Ephesus, talking about the Lord and armor and devil and people and putting on the armor of God. And this is now, it's in 60 to 62, it's present for them. Why? Is there a why? That's exactly, that's what I see. So we can take our stand so that we'll be able to stand. Any other why? Do you see anything else in there that you'd say this is a why? Say it again. Okay. Why? Because, that's a good one. Because we're involved in a struggle, then you have to put on the armor so you can stand. That's good too. Remember, all we're doing now is just observing. We're trying to kind of see everything we can. Yeah, yes, because there's this battle. That's right, the trickery of the devil. Okay, and then how? How does all this happen?
It happens when we put on our full armor.
That's exactly what I think. That's what I wrote down. So what do we have? We have seen that Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about believers. He's talking about angels. He's talking about the devil. He says, put on the armor of God so you can stand. This takes place in around 60 to 62 in Ephesus. And Paul's in Rome. The whole purpose, he's saying, is so they can stand. And how do they do that? Is they put on the armor. Okay. Does that sound okay to everybody? Yes, okay. That's a pretty good start. We did it pretty fast. I mean, we did the other one really slow, right? We did that slow. We did this fast. You may say, I think we're going too fast. Yes, we are. But you're just going to have to jump in and hang on, okay? Now, okay, we've observed. So the next thing we do is what? Interpret. And there's three parts of interpretation. What are they? The verbs, the connectives, and the keywords. Okay. Now, if you remember on the back sheet of your handout, on the back sheet of this handout, wait a minute, I can't even find it, is a page that tells you the questions. When it says observation and under interpretation, it actually gives you about verbs. It gives you some of the connectives to look for in case you forget. And it even puts the word keywords down. So as we get ready to look at this, let's start with verbs. Now, I hate to say this, but boy, there's a lot of verbs in this. And so we'll go fairly quickly as we look through it. But just at the bottom of that page, let's think about the verbs that we see. And you'll just need to write them down as we see them. What's the first verb that you see? Huh? The first one I see is what? Be strong. And as you think about a verb, what kind of verb is that? How is that? What do you call that? You call it, you know, there's things like that are hypothetical, and then there are things that are like a command or something like that. What is this? It's a command. It's the imperative, okay? Which means he's giving you an order. So the first verb, and by the way, it's a present imperative in their language. So he's saying, right now, start putting on, or even keep on putting on, okay? What else do you see? Once again, he says it twice. Didn't he? He starts off by saying, be strong, and then he says, put on. So we got two right there, be strong and put on. What else do you see? You will be able to stand. Stand, by the way, is an infinitive, but the verb is will be able. Will be able is what? Present tense, future tense? Future. Now, we already got be strong, which is present tense, and put on, which is present tense, and will be able is what? Future tense. As you're looking at that, you can tell you're going to be strong and put on. How are you going to be able to stand? Because you must, before you're able to stand, do what? Be strong and put on. So you see the flow of the passage? Okay. Do you see any more verbs? My verse, what do you say? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's present tense. It means it's going on. This struggle is not present tense against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual force of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, what's next? Take up. Is that a imperative? He's giving us another command, present tense command. Take up the full armor of God so that you will what? Be able. Is that present or future? Future, so that you will be able to resist an evil day, and having done everything, is that present tense or past tense? It's past tense. You'll be able to stand. Do you see the verbs? Now he starts off by giving two commands. Be strong, put on, so future-wise you'll be able to stand. Then he describes present tense. Our struggle's not against this. Therefore, once again, present tense, put on, so that you will in the future be able to resist. And then having done all this, past tense, you'll be able to stand. Okay, that's the verbs. Did you get them all down? Or did you try to get them down and we went so fast? Okay. Now, just from the verbs, you see that he says this, I'm giving you a present command. I want you to be strong and put on. Why? So that when you be strong and put on, you will be able to stand. Now, present tense, what's going on is this battle, because you're not fighting people, you're fighting demons. So therefore, once again, I'm giving you another command. Put it on with the same idea. In the future, you will be able to stand. And then, past tense, having done all this, you'll stand. That's just from the verbs. So write it all down, put it in your brain. You're looking at this and you're saying, he's commanding them. And so technically, I'm seeing from this passage, and we're interpreting now. He's commanding them to put on God's armor so they can stand. They got a battle going on right now. And so he repeats it, put it on so you can stand. And after you've done all this, you'll be able to stand. That makes sense from the verbs? That's a pretty good bit just from verbs, isn't it? Okay, now, here's something neat. The next thing that we have to look at is the connectives. Now, I've got verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. You can write, that's the top of the next page. You can write the connectives in there, but I want you to just save some room. Let's see what the connectives are, and so that we can see the flow of the passage. See, the verbs give us the action, but the connectives sometimes give us a lot of details. Okay? You see any connectives? Let's start with verse 10. Finally. What is finally telling you? It's a conclusion. He's giving you a conclusion. So he's been talking all about the Christian life, all about walking worthy, all about doing this. And now he's saying, finally, I'm going to tell you what to do. Okay? So here's the summary. You see any more? Anybody see any more? Probably not in verse 10. You see any in verse 11? So that. That is a verb. I mean, it's a word in the Greek, which is called hina, H-I-N-A. It's one of the most special words. When you see this word in the Greek, it always gives you the purpose or the result. In English, it's either sometimes translated as that or in order that. Notice what this says here. Put on the full armor of God so that it's given us what? It's either given us purpose or result. He says, put on the full armor of God so that purpose you'll be able to stand, or result so that you'll be able to stand. You'll have to decide later on what you think that says. Did you see that? So that little word, that, is telling you either the purpose or the result of putting on the armor of God. You see any more? How about going to verse 12? Four. What does four give you? Okay, is it an explanation, isn't it? Gives you the explanation of something or reason for something. So he's going to explain to us why we need to put on the armor of God so we can stand. Why? Because we're not fighting people, we're fighting what? Demons, okay? Do you see any other connectives? But, see, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. What's the contrast? It's not people, it's demonic. Okay, so you got the but there, okay? That's still in verse 12. How about verse 13? Therefore, what does therefore do? Gives you a what? A summary. He's going to come right back and put this together. Therefore, take the full armor of God so that. What is that? It's going to give you a what? Purpose or result. Now, I want you to think about the flow of the passage. He says, finally, I'm coming to a conclusion. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. I want you to put the full armor of God on so that the purpose would be that you'd be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For, I'm going to explain to you why. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but in contrast to that, it's against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, in summary conclusion again, I want you to take up the full armor of God. Why? So that purpose that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. You can see all of that just simply because of the connectives. So we got verbs that give us the flow. We got connectives that give us some answers. That then takes us to the third thing. And what is the third thing? Keywords. What, you see any keywords? Strong would be one for me. I'd probably write that one down to see what it is. What'd you say? Armor. And you know what I would put down as a keyword? I would put down full armor. Because he didn't say just put on armor of God. He said put on the full armor of God. And you know what's so amazing? That when you look that up, you're going to find out that it's not two words in the Greek, full armor. It's one word in the Greek that means full armor. And you might say, how in the world am I going to look that up? Right? Here's how. I want to show you a tool. We'll get into this next week. I just want to show it to you. This is just a concordance. Most of you, this concordance costs like $9. Everybody can get a concordance. Most people think a concordance, it has every word in the Bible. And so if you were going to look up something, you could say, let's see, cast not your cares upon. Where is that verse? And you could go look the word cast, and it would have every place the word cast is in the Bible, and eventually you'll find your verse, right? Or you could look up cares, or he cares for you. I mean, you could look up anything. But this book is so much more valuable than just finding a verse. Because you could take the Ephesians 6 and where it says put on the full armor in verse 11, you could look up the word armor. You could find the English word armor. And in that, you'll find the verse and you'll go, there's my word. And out beside it, there's these little numbers. And you go, what are these numbers for? Well, in the back of a concordance, there is both a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary. You may not have realized that, but that word takes you back to the Greek and it gives you the Greek word and its meaning. If you looked up armor, it would take you back to a word called planope, which means full armor. And you'd go, oh, that's why it's translated full armor. And so without even knowing Greek, you can know what the Greek word is, and you can know what it means. Now, it's not big details. It's just a little bit. And there are other books that I can bring in next week that I'm going to show you how if you said, well, I want to know more about that word, I'll bring you some tools next week that will show you. But even right now, any one of us in this room, whether you know Greek or not, you can look it up and find out any word in the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, it takes you back to the Hebrew dictionary and gives you the word. If it's New Testament, it'll take you back to the Greek dictionary. And so you can find out what the word strong is. You can find out what full armor is. You can look up the word struggle. You can look up the word schemes. You can look up against these spiritual forces of darkness or wickedness. You can even look up the word stand firm, see what that means. You can look up all these key words to get ideas on what they mean. Now, with this in mind, and we've gone through it, and you could write down by verse, what you could do is go back where it says verse 10, and you could say, what does verse 10, what's the interpretation of verse 10? Paul tells the believers to be strong in God's strength, right? You could go to verse 11 and say, what does it mean? And it means that you put on God's full armor. Why? So you can stand against the schemes of the devil. You can go to verse 12 and it says, here's a point. He's explaining to us that the struggle's not against people, but in contrast, it's against spiritual wickedness. And in verse 13, you could say, therefore, he summarizes it again and says, take up the full armor of God, purpose, so you can stand, you'll be able to resist, and having done everything, you can stand. That's your interpretation. Now, from that, you might say, okay, I'm going to make some interpretations. And some interpretations will be, I need to be strong in God's power. I need to put on the full armor of God. I'm fighting against the devil. My battle's not against people. I need to put it all on so I can stand firm. Would that not be the interpretation? Now, it's more details. And if you did this in much more time than we're doing today, and you're looking up things, there's no telling how much details. You might want to talk about what the word armor means. You might want to really go into detail on what schemes means. You might want to talk about the word struggle. And you might want to take up, you might even want to look and say, when it says, and you'll be able to resist in the evil day. What evil day? A particular evil day? It says the evil day. It didn't say in evil days. What evil day is he talking about? I'm not going to tell you. But you have to look it up yourself. See what you can find. I mean, that's what's so kind of fun about it. So interpretations, the three interpretations or four, you can put anything you want, would be, let's be strong in God's power, put on his armor. We're fighting against the devil and against spiritual battle. Battle's not against people. We need to be able to stand firm. The devil is scheming. I mean, you can put down any interpretations you want because that's what you saw and what you interpreted. And with the tools that you have, I mean, this is not something you do in 10 minutes like we're doing now. It could be 10 days that you're going through it. Now, with that in mind, that takes us to the last part. What's the last part? What is it? Application. Now, application, there are two things. Application must be based off your what? Interpretation. Application must be what? Personal. Now, let me tell you this. Like this morning's passage, if you were in church already, here is the description of the temple. And we could say to ourselves, How am I going to apply that? Right? In this passage, how are we going to apply Ephesians 6, 10 through 13? Why is it easier to apply this passage? Because he's giving you commands. He's already telling you. You've already got in the passage telling you exactly what you're supposed to do. What are the applications from this passage? Huh? Put on the first application I'd say is I'm supposed to put on the full armor of God. And you know what I'd put in there with it? The only way I can be strong in the Lord is by putting on the full armor of God. What's another application? Who are you fighting against? See, my application is I'm not in a battle against people. I mean, see, sometimes we think people are the enemy. People aren't the enemy. They're fallen. Most unbelievers aren't the enemy. They don't have a clue. And other believers who maybe are causing problems, maybe it's because they're influenced. Your battle's against what? It's a spiritual battle. Maybe an application would be that I need to understand what the wiles of the devil might be. What do you think of that application? Yeah, I'll give you a list. We could all come up with them, huh? What's another application? Any other things? Huh? Keep on standing strong. So I want you to put on the armor of God. I'm not wrestling against people, but against the devil. And I need to be able to stand strong or, you know, whatever. Because, he gives you three different times. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Take up the full armor of God. He gives you, those are the commands. He gives you the reasons why, so that you'll be able to stand, so that you'll be able to fight against the schemes of the devil, so you'll fight against the wicked places, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. So bottom line, you want to resist in the evil day? Then you better do what he says. He says, put on the full armor of God, the full armor. And then he goes on and describes it. This would stop me. If it was me, I'd say, okay, now wait a minute. Okay, I got to this point. Now, I better go ahead and finish this passage to find out what the armor of God is. What is it? It's my loins girded with truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's what I would be doing. That's why you can't really stop here. You better go on the rest of the passage so you can make sure you can put on the full armor of God. Because it's one thing to know to put it on. It's another thing to know what to put on. And that's what he goes on to say. Okay. Has the bell already rang? It did. Oh, me. Okay. Here's my applications. I must be strong in God's power. And then I even put out there, the strength that I live for God is God's power, not my power. I even put down Ephesians 5:18, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. So I put that down. So I must be strong in God's power. Then I put down, in order for me to stand against the devil, I have to put on God's armor. And I talked about, I need to look at the armor, understand the armor, and put it on. Number three, I put down, I said, my battle is not with people. It's a spiritual battle. And so those were my three applications that I put down. Let me close this out by giving, there they are right there. Okay, let me give you the final applications of this lesson and these studies. Number one is dig God's word using the method of observation, interpretation, and application. Take the time to do that. Number two, understand the passage, make the application, and be ready to pass the truths on to others. Now, this morning I brought the concordance. Next week I'll show you again how it works. I brought an atlas that you would be able to look up verses, you'd be able to look up places, you would look up Ephesus, you'd look up Rome, you'd look at all these things. It would tell you where all that is. I brought a book which is Manners and Customs, which you can go to verses. It'll talk about armor. It'll talk about what they wore. You know, you imagine that Paul was chained to a soldier, and when he did the armor of God and he started saying the truth, and he looked over at that guy and said, okay, helmet of salvation. You know, and that's what he did. And you talk about what the armor looks like. I brought another, and I mentioned the book a while ago. This is just called New Testament Times. You could actually look up and talk about what it was like in the first century. What it was like in Rome, what it was like in Ephesus, what it was like to be in prison. And so there are all kind of things. I'll bring a whole bunch of tools next time. Questions, comments for the next bell rings. Anything on this. Now, this is not easy. And the truth is, if you're going to study the Bible and know it and understand it, you're going to have to interpret it from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, and you're going to have to use the observation, interpretation, application method. It is not easy to look for all the verbs. It is not easy to look at all the connectives. It is not easy to look up all these keywords. It is not easy to put all that together. But if you're going to have an understanding of the Scripture, you have to do that. I remember one time, and I may have told you this, but I was teaching this to a class, and we were at the part about verbs, and we were talking about verbs, whether past, present, or future, and is it active or passive, and how does that work, and look at this. And a person just raised their hand and said, "That's too much work. I'm not going to do that." And the truth is, it is a lot of work. But you'll have to do it if you're really going to know it. I mean, there are a lot of people who teach the Bible. They hadn't studied it. They just say, "I think that's what this means." You don't want to be that way. You don't want to make statements that you don't have backing for. You don't want to say, "Well, the Bible says this." And you say, "Show it to me. Show me that. Show me that passage that you're getting that from. Where do you understand that from? How did you get that?" You want to be able to say, "The Bible says this because." That's the stand we want. Okay, next week we'll finish this. Well, I'll bring in the sheets, another handout, but I'll bring in all kind of stuff and all the tools, and I'll bring in a whole bunch of tools, and we'll look at it together, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for the passage, and what a great passage, Lord. Thank you that we're to be strong in your strength and to put on the full armor of God, because we're fighting not against people, but against the devil and his fallen angels, and it's a spiritual battle. And so we want to be able to understand there's the wiles of the devil and all of that, and so we want to put on the full armor of God so that we can resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. That's what we want to do. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. Thank you for the privilege of knowing methods to get into the Scripture for ourselves. And thank you, Lord, for all the tools that over the years you've allowed people to put together to help us be able to dig your Word. Thank you, Lord, that we know we have to bridge the gap, the language gap and the time gap and the place gap and all of those things. Help us to be able to do it, Lord. We want to know your Word. We want to live out your Word. And we want to pass on your Word. We want to make a difference for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.